Jena, tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Svayam Rupa Kadamayam, Tadati Svapadantikam, Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Parakamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagajatam, Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tung Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shibishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanesh. Quiet. Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyayivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text, chapter 1, text 30, page, what's that? So, text 31, page 59. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Rama Page 59 Text 31, we'll chant the Sanskrit together. Nachishreyo nupashyami hatva svajanam ahave nakangshe vijayam krishna nacharajam sukhanicha. Translation together. I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle, nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. Text 32 through 35, Sanskrit together. Kim no rajena govinda, kim bhogar jivitena va, yesham arte kangshitam no, rajam bhoga sukhanicha, ta ime vastita yudhe, pranangs chaktva dhananicha, acharya pitara putras, tataiva chapita maha, Matula Shashvara Pautra Shala Sambandinas Tata Etan Nahantum Ichchami Gnantopi Madhusudana Apitrai Lokya Rajasya Heto Kimnu Mahikate Nihatya Dartarastrana Kapriti Syaj Janardhanam. Translation together. O Govinda, of what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed on this battlefield? O Madhusudana, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, fathers-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them, even though they might otherwise kill me? O maintainer of all living entities, I am not prepared to fight with them, even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. What pleasure will we derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? Text 36. Papam eva shreyed asman. Hadvaitan atatayinaha tasman arhavayam hantum dartarashtran sabandavan svajanam hikatam hatva sukina syamamadava. Translation. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore, it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What shall we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune? And how could we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? Text 37 and 38. Yadyapyetena pasyanti lobho pahata chetasaha kulakshaya kritam dosham mitra drohe chapatakam katam nageyam asmabhi papadasman nivartitum kulakshaya kritam dosham prapasyad bir janardanam. Translation. O Janardan, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarreling with friends, why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin? Text 39. Kulakshay pranasyanti kuladharma sanatanaha dharme nashte kulam kritsnam adharmo bibhavatyuta. Translation. With the destruction of dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished, and thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion. Text 40. Adharma bibhavat krishna padushanti kulastriyaha strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varna sankaraha. Translation. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny. And finally, text 41. Sankaros narakayeva kulagnanam kulasicha patanti pitaro hyesham lupta pindo dakakriyaha. Translation. An increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. Going back to text 31. I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle, nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Without knowing that one's self-interest is in Vishnu or Krishna, conditioned souls are attracted by bodily relationships, hoping to be happy in such situations. In such a blind conception of life, they forget even the causes of material happiness. Arjuna appears to have even forgotten the moral codes for a Kshatriya. It is said that two kinds of men, namely the Kshatriya, who dies directly in front of the battlefield under Krishna's personal orders, and the person in the renounced order of life, who is absolutely devoted to spiritual culture, are eligible to enter into the sun globe, which is so powerful and dazzling. Arjuna is reluctant even to kill his enemies, let alone his relatives. He thinks that by killing his kinsmen, there would be no happiness in this life, and therefore he is not willing to fight. Just as a person who does not feel hungry is not inclined to cook, he has now decided to go into the forest and live a secluded life in frustration. But as a Kshatriya, he requires a kingdom for his subsistence, because the Kshatriyas cannot engage themselves in any other occupation. But Arjuna has no kingdom. Arjuna's sole opportunity for gaining a kingdom lies in fighting with his cousins and brothers and reclaiming the kingdom inherited from his father, which he does not like to do. Therefore, he considers himself fit to go to the forest to live a secluded life of frustration. So the big question is, what to do? That's the question for everyone. What to do in life? What am I supposed to do here? What is my duty? Because there's so many choices. I can do this, I can do that. And it's not easy to know what to do. We see that for animals, they don't have this question, what to do. You never see birds, you know, sitting around trying to figure out what to do today. No, the birds, they're quite aware of what they're supposed to do, because they're impelled by the modes of material nature. And that's what they're supposed to be doing as birds. They're supposed to be acting according to the modes of material nature. And they do. Every species does that. Only the human species can even consider not doing that. Can you imagine a dog deciding, sitting down and contemplating that, I don't think I should act like a dog anymore. Why am I acting like a dog? I'm not this body. No. He's fully absorbed in thinking that he's the body of the dog. And therefore, he barks and he runs and bites and he does everything just like a dog. But the humans, they start contemplating, am I really this body? Am I really a human? This is good. This is very intelligent when someone begins to question. Most of us humans, we don't question. We follow the modes of material nature. Pukating Jan. What is that verse? Pukating Jan. Anyway, there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that everyone follows the ways of the modes of material nature. They're all under the control. Under the direction, Daivanetrena, of the higher authorities. The living entities who are in lower consciousness, namely ignorance and passion, passion and ignorance, they simply go along with the modes of material nature. They don't question it. They're like, they don't really have the ability, the intelligence to, it requires goodness. One has to develop goodness, and then he can understand that there's something like a spirit soul. The animals don't consider whether or not there's a spirit soul. They don't even think in those terms of spirit souls and bodies. And most humans, they also don't see any distinction between the body and the soul. If you ask most people, so tell me what you think this person, tell me what you think he is, they'll say, well, he's just, there he is. That's him. He's combined soul, body, all together. This is their idea. It's all mixed together. You can't. But no, that's not a fact. Going on to the next text. O Govinda, of what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed on this battlefield? We can see he's really relating to the social considerations now. And social means the body. He's really identifying with the body. For all those for whom we may desire them are arrayed on this battlefield. He's referring to all the relatives and all the friends. That's who he's referring to. But if we think about it, if the soul is eternal, and this is just one very short chapter in the sojourn of one's eternal existence, then this group of friends and family, why should we make so much concern about this group? What about all the other millions of groups we've been with? And the fact is that none of them are really so important, because the whole relationship is very short-lived. Just like when going down the river, some leaves and twigs and different things come together and they form a little group, a clump, and they go together down the river. So they become family. And then they hit a rock and they're dispersed forever. So if while we're going down this river together with all these other little leaves and twigs and we think, this is my family, my permanent family. No. It's temporary. Then Arjuna continues, O Madhusudana, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, fathers-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them, even though they might otherwise kill me? So Arjuna is really become bewildered. This is the energy of the Supreme Lord to completely bewilder Arjuna. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada about how is it that he could become bewildered. He said, yes, he can become, the material energy can bewilder one, the living entity. So, at least temporarily, he's confused, he's bewildered. Now he's referring to Krishna as Madhusudana. That's an important word. Madhusudana means the killer of the Madhu demon. He's saying, my dear Krishna, my dear Madhusudana, you killed the great demon Madhu, but you didn't kill your brother and your grandfather and your uncles. We don't hear you killing any of them. But now you're asking me, I'm supposed to kill all of them. How's that? So he's pointing that out he's starting to, in a friendly, in a gentlemanly way, he's arguing with Krishna. Because now he's now going to go off on a long explanation, and he's going to speak as if he knows so much, and that Krishna doesn't understand things. He's actually thinking now that he has a good grasp on social matters and morality and what is to be done, as we all do. We all are very proud of our knowledge, of our intelligence, our opinions. If you ask, it's like these opinion polls are very, they have these different news things. So the opinion polls are very popular. They say, what is your opinion? Everyone like, yeah, I'll give my opinion. As if their opinion means anything, or as if it had any value. But everyone thinks that their opinion is very important. So Arjuna also, acting like a conditioned soul, he's thinking that my opinion is very important. Krishna, you should listen to me now. He's speaking. He says, O maintainer of all living entities, I am not prepared to fight with them, even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. Now he's a little proud. I'm so renounced. We see that in this material world, everyone's proud of whatever they do. Now he's actually being a coward. He's actually giving up his duty as a Kshatriya. But he wants to be praised for it as if I'm so renounced. I don't even care about the kingdom. I'm such a kind-hearted person. I'm going to spare all these people. And I don't even care about the kingdom. I'm so renounced. But Krishna doesn't accept that argument. What pleasure, Arjuna says, will we derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? So he's thinking in terms of his own pleasure. What pleasure will I get? That's his big problem right there. It's all there. That one statement betrays his consciousness. What pleasure will I get? He's thinking of in terms of his own pleasure. Well, that's not the way we're supposed to be thinking. That's how animals think. But humans are not supposed to think in terms of their own sense pleasure, but they're supposed to think in terms of giving pleasure to the ultimate enjoyer, Krishna. Krishna is meant to be given pleasure, not us. Just like, can you imagine a servant? He's working for his master. So the master says, my dear servant, can you kindly go and take this? It's a very important. This letter has to be delivered. It's 3 miles away. And please go there now. If the servant says, what am I going to get out of this? I have to walk all that way? How am I going to be happy by doing this? Now, what's happened if he starts thinking like that? What has happened to his thinking? He forgot. He forgot what he is. He forgot his identity. He forgot his duty. And now he's objecting. Why do I have to do this? How am I going to be happy? Well, because you're a servant. This is your duty. Oh. This is your constitutional position. So similarly, we are constitutionally meant to serve Krishna. And that is our pleasure. When we forget that and we think, why should I serve? Let me become the master. Then we're out of our constitutional position. And it's like the fish out of water. If you take a fish out of water, it doesn't matter what you give him. Even if you put him in association with some very beautiful she-fish and you give him nice food, some nice worms, what else do they like? Even if you give him all these nice things, he won't be happy because he's out of the water. He's out of his natural habitat. Similarly, as soon as we leave the service of Krishna, we are out of our habitat and we will be miserable. That's why people are so miserable in this world. Everyone's miserable. They're all trying to act like they're not miserable. How do they act like they're not miserable? By taking intoxication, by becoming intoxicated by watching television, by becoming absorbed in some inane pastime such as kicking balls around. Something to do to forget how miserable I am. Something to do to try to forget that I'm going to die any minute. We could get blown up at any time, or some car could smash into me, or my heart could stop beating, or someone could, you know, got the snipers, you know. Or I could eat some food and I could choke on it. That happens. So many things. If you think about all the ways that you could die, how many ways? Let me count thy ways. What is it? Let me count thy ways that I could die today. No, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about all the ways I could die today. So let me try to forget death. I remember I was speaking to one of my relatives and trying to preach in my early days. And she was very, she said, I don't want to talk about death. I don't even want to think about it. She was getting disturbed. She said, let's not talk about something so morbid. So I gave an example. I said, well, all right, let's say you'd like to watch TV at night, right? And she said, yes. All right. So you're watching the television. You're very comfortable. It's nice and warm. You're watching the TV. And there's a problem that there's a big snake in your room, slithers out. And your person, your friend is sitting there and says, hey, there's a big snake over there, a huge one, big, long snake. She said, don't disturb me now. Just put up a curtain or something there. Put a curtain up. All right, so then the next night, you're peacefully watching TV with the curtain up there, and suddenly the snake bites you. You tried to forget about the snake by putting some little curtain there. But the curtain doesn't stop the snake. So it's not very intelligent to just try to, you know, put up some little curtain and think that death isn't. You can't forget, you can't cover death so easily with a curtain. All right. No, death is coming. But the intelligent person learns how to solve the problem of death once and for all. What is that solution? The solution to the problem of death is to realize that we're eternal. That I'm not this body. I'm thinking I'm the body, that's why I'm thinking I have to die. If I realize I'm the soul never dies. So in other words, the solution to the death problem is knowledge. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's nothing in this world so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. And this transcendental knowledge is available in Bhagavad Gita. Text 36. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore, it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune, and how could we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? So this is incorrect. He's made an incorrect statement. He said that sin will overcome them by killing such aggressors. But this is completely incorrect. He's even forgotten religion now. He's forgotten all the Dharma. Because there are six types of aggressors. Let's read the purport. One, a poison giver. Two, one who sets fire to the house. Three, one who attacks with deadly weapons. Four, one who plunders riches. Five, one who occupies another's land. And six, one who kidnaps a wife. Such aggressors are at once to be killed, and there's no sin incurred by killing such aggressors. Now, just consider the opposition, Duryodhana and Pati. Did they ever give poison? Yes. They gave poison to Bhima. They tried to kill the Bhima. And what about setting fire to the house? Did they ever do that? Yes. They in fact made a whole plan to put the Pandavas, what is it called, Varnavata? Yes, in this special place. And they built a house of lacquer. They put them in it. And they were going to set fire to the house. Third one. One who attacks with deadly weapons. They did that also. Well, of course, they're attacking now with deadly weapons. And they attacked another. Even when Krishna went to make peace, remember, this is not the beginning. There's a long history going on here. Krishna personally went, before this battle began, he went to Duryodhana and said, okay, look, You've cheated them out of their kingdom. Never mind. Why not give them back half? It was their kingdom. You cheated. Give them half. If you don't want to give them half, then at least give them seven villages. Seven? Why seven? Five. Excuse me. Five villages. Five Pandavas. Give them at least five villages. Make peace with them. Duryodhana said, well, Duryodhana, he sent his army to attack Krishna with weapons. Of course, Krishna showed his universal form and he showed that I'm not, you can't attack me, I'm God. But anyway, so even still Duryodhana said, I will not give them as much land as you can fit under the point of a pin without a fight. So that's why the Battle of Kurukshetra is taking place. Then the fourth one, one who plunders the riches. Well, they took all their wealth for a cheating dice match. Their uncle, Shakuni, was an expert dice shark. He had dice made out of the bones of his father, wasn't it? Or his grandfather, something like that. And he had some... So he was a dice shark. And he cheated Yudhishthir out of the whole riches. Then, one who occupies another land, they did that. They took their whole kingdom away. And one who kidnaps their wife. To make everything worse, they took Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas, and... said, now she doesn't belong to the Pandavas anymore. Let's strip her naked in front of the assembly. All six, they committed aggressions. And Arjuna is saying, their sin will overcome us if we slay such aggression. No, it's not right. No sin in killing them. From the material point of view or the spiritual point of view. Texts 37 and 38. O Janardhan, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarreling with friends, why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin? He's so absorbed in the family. He's identifying, this is my family. Svajanam, the word Svajanam. My men, our people, family. He's just absorbed in the family. Just like the what is it? The McCoys and the Hatfields. You know the... You never heard of that? McCoys and the Hatfields. They have these clans down in the south. And these clans, generation after generation, they just keep fighting each other, killing one clan, killing the other clan. Or like in Northern Ireland. Have any of you been to Northern Ireland? Yeah, I've been to Northern Ireland. So you've got two groups of Christians. One are the Catholics and one are the Protestants. And they've been fighting for generations. And they just go on bombing each other, killing each other. Why? Because they're grandparents. And it just goes on and on and on. Because they're identifying. I'm a member of this family. And because I'm a member of this family, and my grandparents were killed by the other group, so now I'm going to kill their... So this is all family. But Arjuna, on the other hand, he's looking at it in a magnanimous way. Certainly, he's more in goodness. He's not thinking to kill them. He's thinking, let's spare them. They're our family members. But still, the same business is there. It's still the contamination of thinking that I'm a member of this family. Or I'm a member of this nation. And just see what happens. Look, people are ready to kill millions of people because they happen to be born in a family or a country, and they're willing to kill millions of people that are members of another country just because they live in a different part of the world. Now, this is Maya. This is the material world. And they'll never be able to solve this problem by their means. It can only be solved by transcendental knowledge. Text 39. With the destruction of dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished, And thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted. And from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny. An increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life, both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. Any questions? Who is that person with good karma? Yes, but where... Okay, like you say, someone may have relatively good karma. But even to be born in this material world, you know, you may have a little more in your bank balance than someone else has, but still, what about all the diseases? They don't care how much money you have in your bank balance. Do you think cancer... Say, oh, let's check how much he's got in his bank balance before we strike. Cancer doesn't wait. Or anxiety. You think anxiety doesn't go after those who have a lot of money or who are very beautiful? No, the more beautiful you are, the more anxiety also. Depends where you go. If you become a dog, you don't remember anything. If you go down, depends. If you go down, then you have to go to one of the hellish planetary systems for some training. You have to get trained up how to become a dog. Because to go from human directly down, you wouldn't know how to do it, so you have to be trained. For what? When death is coming? Pious credits running out? No, they may be engaged in pious activities. If they use the human form of life for pious activities, then when they die, they'll go up. Urdvam gacchanti sattvasta. One who dies in the mode of goodness goes up to the higher planetary systems. In other words, if he's living a good life, he has nothing to fear. Well, yes, anyone who takes birth, for one who's taken birth, death is certain. So... Anyone who comes here, who takes birth here, he's got the stripes, the criminal. If he tries to escape from the prison, everyone sees he's got these stripes, And so we all have these bodies. These bodies are our stripes. This means we're criminals. That's why we're here in the material world. So nobody can claim that I'm completely, antiseptically pure. No, that's why we're here, because of sinful activities in the past, sinful desires. So the question is, do people have more money or good karma? Do they suffer less? Relatively, yes. You could say a person who has... But then again, which is better, wet stool or dry stool? Which part? Some people, how many think the dry part is better? Raise your hand if you think dry stool is better. How many think wet stool? We're doing a poll. Yeah, you're right. The wet stool, dry stool, either part is stool. So whether you're in good karma or bad karma, you're still in this material world. You're still having to go through all the miseries. So not much better. Better to get out of the material world altogether. No. Why? Why should all souls be so stupid to fall into the material world? Only a small percentage of us rebels without a cause, we fall down here. We have... I see what you're getting at now. No. We're all eternal Satchit Ananda. But... we all have free will. We're all meant to be fully chit. Chit means full of knowledge. But if we become envious, if we misuse our free will, then we have to fall down. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.